Okay. All right, konnichiwa. Please open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 17. We'll read the story of 10 lepers being healed from verse 11 through 19. I would encourage you not only to have the bulletin, but definitely have your Bible open, whether a paper Bible or an app. Excuse me, I'm going to take this mask off. And I'm going to be referencing quite a bit, chapter 17, verses 1 through 10 as well. So keep that in mind. Okay, let's go ahead and read chapter 17, verse 11 through 9 together. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise, go, your faith has made you well." The very words of Jesus. Amen. Well, this is the age of corona and the global pandemic. Hundreds of thousands have died, and many more have the virus. But even though many people are sick and want to become healed, I want us to make sure we don't forget there is a greater healing that we need. All of us are sick with a disease, the disease of sin, rebellion against God, pride, selfishness, lust, laziness, ambition. We all need healing. We have read now a story of a miracle of 10 people receiving healing. But if we think that it is just 10 lepers, we are highly mistaken. It is about our healing that this story was written. It is about our deep, eternal healing and wholeness that Luke gives us this record. But I want you to understand how the healing came. And there is a hint in the title of our message today. Forgiveness, obedience, and healing. This story is an illustration of what Jesus is teaching from verse 1 through 10. Last week, I preached on verses 1 through 10, specifically on forgiveness. However, in the interest of time, I did not say all that I had prepared to say. Mostly, we talked about what forgiveness is. But I did not speak enough on how to forgive. And I think it is something that is related to everyone, especially in today's message when it comes to healing. My friends, when we have been hurt, when we have been betrayed, when we have been lied to, when we have been insulted, when we are disrespected, when we are offended, the command of Jesus to us, his disciples, is you must forgive. Huh? Where does it say that? Look in chapter 17, verse 4. In verse 4, Jesus says, you must forgive. That's not advice. That's not, you should forgive. It will help you. It will make you feel better. It will make your life good. Jesus' command as our master, you must forgive. And then Jesus shows us how. So I want us to go there. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 17. Jesus is saying, Christians should not be offensive. The Pharisees in chapter 16, because of their hypocrisy and love of money, are offensive. They cause people to stumble. They lead people away from God. That's what it means to make people stumble. And Jesus looks to us and he says, you don't make people stumble. Don't lead people away from God like the Pharisees. Well, how do we do that? He says, don't offend. Don't be offensive. Well, how am I offensive, Jesus? What am I doing? How is it that I'm like a Pharisee? Verse 3 and 4. You're offensive. You lead people astray. You make people stumble against God by being unforgiving, by harboring bitterness and anger towards other people. That's verses 1 through 4. So the question now is, and this is a bit of looking back to last week, I think it will be beneficial to review, but it's not the whole sermon. It's just a bit of a summary. What is true forgiveness? Many people, when they can't forgive, they say, I just can't. I can't forgive. This is what they're thinking. I'm trying to stop being mad. I need to be more patient. If I can stop being mad, then I can forgive. Jesus shows us in this chapter, that's backwards. You're actually holding the stick at the wrong side or the wrong end. Where does it say that? Look at verse 3 once more. In verse 3, verse 3, at the end of verse 3. It's not there. You have to look at your Bible. In verse 3, watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. Now, please understand, rebuke and forgiveness, Jesus puts them together. If you have rebuke but no forgiveness, you have nothing. If you have forgiveness but no rebuke, you have nothing. One without the other is not forgiveness. Here, let me illustrate. People want to say, you are wrong. You did something bad. you robbed me of comfort. You caused me pain. You hurt me. They rebuke a person. But if they have not already in their heart prepared to forgive them, if they're not in their heart forgiven them, then their rebuke is just a way to punish somebody. You're showing your anger and your wrath, and you want them to feel sorry. So you rebuke them, but they don't repent, then I don't forgive. Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. They're together. You know, when you have a new phone or a new tablet, you press the button, it's not empty. There's already apps installed. They're pre-installed apps. That's how forgiveness works. When you rebuke someone, your forgiveness is pre-installed. So that when you give the rebuke, you're already ready to forgive. You can't have one without the other. Let's flip it the other way. When you say, I don't want to rebuke. I don't want to cause trouble. I don't want to complain. I'll just forgive them. It's nothing. I'll forgive, but I'm not going to say anything. You have not forgiven. You're not forgiving because you are trying to find some kind of peace. You are trying to find a way to escape them. That's not forgiveness. Jesus is showing you that's not forgiveness, because forgiveness has a purpose. The purpose of forgiveness is this: to stop wrong and evil. That's the purpose. That's the aim of forgiveness. And so if you say nothing, but you just forgive, you have not stopped the evil. If you say nothing and you just go on your way, they're going to continue doing wrong. They continue in their evil. They continue in sin. But you've forgiven them. No, you haven't. There is a rebuke that leads to repentance. This is how Proverbs put it. We preached it last year. Here it is. A gentle word can break a bone. Your words, if it's gently spoken, but with the truth, it's enough to make such an impact on someone's life, it will break them of their sin, break them of their evil. A word gently spoken can break a bone. They go together, rebuke and forgiveness. So, rebuke without forgiveness is just punishment. Forgiveness without rebuke, that's a false sense of peace. Because the aim of forgiveness is to stop the spread of evil and wrong. Forgiveness is an aim, but forgiveness is an action. If I could just stop being angry, I could treat that person well. Let me translate what that is. If I feel better, then I will do better. Feeling leads to action. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. It's backwards. Forgiveness is an action that leads to feeling. Forgiveness is the action that leads to feeling. Where do I get this? You get it back in verse 4 once more. Back in verse 4. Even if they sin against you 7 times in one day, and then they say, I'm sorry, you must forgive them. So listen. If someone offends you, insults you, disrespects you 7 times in one day, if they say sorry, seven times, are they sincere? Do they mean it? No, obviously not, right? They don't care. They haven't repented. Seven times in one day. No one does that. So Jesus is saying, how you feel about their apology, that does not matter. Kanke nai. Zinzin kanke nai. You must forgive them. That's what he's saying. Forgiveness cannot be based on their performance. Okay? Where do I get this? Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus says this. If you are standing and you're praying and you have something against somebody else, forgive them. You don't talk to them. You don't have to go up to them. You don't have to approach them. You don't have to take them aside and say, you know what, can we talk? None of that. If you're standing and praying, you have something in your heart against somebody, forgive them. It does not matter what they do or what they say. It matters what you do. No condition of their repentance. So what does that mean? It means forgiveness in this place means reconciliation. Reconciliation only happens when it is pre-installed. So your heart is the device. Forgiveness and reconciliation is pre-installed when you have Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with your feelings. Okay, so Jesus illustrates this with a tree. And the disciples are saying, I can't do this, Lord. I can't forgive somebody seven times in one day. I don't have enough faith. Increase our faith, they say to him in verse 7. And Jesus says, what's faith got to do with it? It's got nothing to do with it. Okay, you want faith? You have a little faith the size of a mustard seed. Even with that small faith, if you obey my word, it's enough. You can tell a tree, the tree with the strongest roots, the mulberry tree, get up and go into the ocean. And here's the key word, the tree will obey. The tree has no faith, but the tree will obey. You have the faith of a mustard seed. If you obey, it's enough. So it's not your faith, it's your obedience. Do you understand? That's why the title of this message is Faith, Obedience, and Healing. Forgiveness is an action that is in obedience to the Master. So here's the truth, okay? You can forgive someone even while you are angry at them. Yeah. Now, you're saying, I know what you're saying. You're saying, Chris, maybe it's possible, but that sounds very painful. And maybe you also know this experience. You're saying, Chris, that's so hard, so painful. And I'm saying you're getting close. I want to show you how to forgive. How do we forgive if it's so difficult? First of all, you need to learn Greek. Yeah, I'm going to teach you some Greek today, okay? The word euroussou, in English, forgive. In Greek, aphiemi, aphiemi, A-P-H-I-E-M-I, aphiemi. Let me give you two places. Matthew chapter 3. Aphiemi means let it be where it is. Let it be where it is. So in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus comes to John the Baptist, and Jesus says, okay, John, cousin, your turn to baptize me. John the Baptist looks at Jesus and says, no, You're God. I can't baptize you. There's no way. It's not my duty. I cannot do this duty to baptize you. You're the Lord. And then Jesus says what? Afiemi. Let it be where it is. Okay? And the next word is John Afiemid. John, let it be. So if Jesus says, Yurushinasai, allow it. Afiemi. Yeah? And John says, and John Afiemid, he allowed it. Okay, the next place is Matthew chapter 18. Jesus tells the story of a servant who had a money debt that he owed to a king. A servant owed 10,000 talents to the king, just a crazy amount of money. And what did the king do for the servant? Here it is. The king afiemied the debt. The king let the debt be where it is. What does that mean? The king accepted the debt. How? He did not put the servant in the prison. The king took the debt and paid it himself. Okay? So afiemid. So what is forgiveness? If you are a Christian and you don't forgive, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ and you say, I just can't let it go, here's what Jesus is saying. You are a servant trying to be a king. You put yourself in the seat of the judge. You think you have the knowledge of the king. You know why they sinned. You know what's happening in their life to make you pained and hurt. You know all of the circumstances that should happen. You make yourself the king. Not only that, you make yourself the good king. You're the judge. You know what's right, and you know what's wrong, and you have been insulted. You think you're the king, even though you're a servant. That's what Jesus is saying in the story of the servant. No, that's not how you do it. I'm getting to how. I'm almost there. So forgiveness is an aim to stop the spread of wrong. Forgiveness is an action that leads to the feeling. Now, forgiveness is the acceptance of the debt. Acceptance of the debt. So how do you forgive? Let me give you two steps. I gave the first one last week. I'm going to give the second one this time. The last week I said, the way to forgive, the first thing you do is you have to be honest and assess the debt. When somebody has stolen from you, they owe you a certain amount of money. Now, so let's imagine. You break into my house. You break the door. You break the window. You take my gold and my silver. You take my computers. And you take my electronics. Okay? The police come. And they say, Chris Havacom, how much did they steal? And I say, a few hundred yen. It's not that big deal. Just a little bit of money. No big deal. I'm not being honest. I'm not. You've taken so much, but I say, そんなにない. 大丈夫. I'm not being honest. And Christians, when they want to say, oh, I'm forgiven and I'm going to give forgiveness, they're trying to diminish or they're trying to deny
the hurt that's in their heart.
You can't do that. The pain is the pain. The hurt is the hurt. The debt is the debt. And you're trying to run away from it so that you don't feel uncomfortable. Jesus says, no, 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 no. 7 times in one day. Admit that. Assess it. That's one. If you don't do that, you can't do step 2. And here's step 2. Step 2 is you pay the debt. First, step 1, assess the damage. Step 2, assume the debt. Assume the debt means you pay, not them. Pastor Chris, how do I do that? Let me show you how not to do it first. Okay? When we want revenge and we want to punish someone, here's what we do. Let me tell you 7 things. You know 7 deadly sins? Well, here's 7 ways that forgiveness fails. Here's what we do. What is payback? We pay back. 1, real simple. We give the cold shoulder. 冷たい. Right? No 挨拶, no 返事, no greetings, no response. We're just cold. 2, instead of being cold, we're extra hot. We're very demanding. We very much control them. Maybe it's our children. Maybe it's a student. Maybe it's someone under us in the workplace, in the office. And we go hard. They have to pay. 3, we try to shame them by being kind to them, right? We show extra mercy. But really, we're just trying to be self-righteous. I'm higher and I'm better than you, so I'll show mercy. And so by doing that, we hope they feel shame. 4, we actively hurt that person. That's about as simple as it gets. Typically, children do that. You hurt me, I hurt you. You punch me. But now, adults, what do? You gossip about me, I gossip about you. You attack me, I attack you. With words, with the law, maybe with our hands. 5, we ignore the person. It's different from 1. 1 is, 冷たい, I'm cold to that person. 5, we ignore them when they're in pain, when they're in hurt, when they have a need, when they're crying out, when they have a problem, 知らない. I don't know. We ignore them. Payback, right? 6, we attack their reputation. Gossip is one way, but here's how Christians get revenge on somebody with a reputation. We do 2 things. 1 is we say this. We say something very clever. We say, "Inote kudasai, please pray for me. That person did something terrible to me, and I just need strength." We're not asking for prayer. We're taking revenge by putting their name on a sin. 2nd way we do this is we say, "You know what? Let me warn you. あの人がね, I have to warn you about that person. So-and-so is bad. So-and-so does bad things. So-and-so says these things that are wrong." And we take their reputation and we bring it down to pay them back for hurting us. 7. This is the worst one. Maybe we don't say anything. Maybe we don't do anything. But in our heart, we hope for something. We hope for their pain. We are cheering for their failure. This happens in politics, and the politics of a company, the politics of a school, the politics of a church. We say nothing, but in our heart, when they make a mistake, when they have a problem, feels good. And we hope for more. Now, I'm not making eye contact with anyone right now. I'm trying not to point fingers. Actually, I'm looking in the mirror because I know 1 through 7, that's me. I hope that you are looking in the mirror too. That's how to get payback. That's not how to make payments. How to forgive is you don't make them pay back. You make payments. There's 3 things. Here it is. 3 ways that you make the payments for forgiveness. When you are in the same room with that person, you are kind and loving. You are cordial. You have manners. And you are open about kindness to them. Now, you say, wait. Pastor Chris, so they can just hurt you again? No. Please remember the purpose of forgiveness. It is to stop the spread of evil and wrong. They hurt you again. You have a rebuke that leads to repentance. You have a soft and gentle word that leads to reconciliation. Okay? You're ready for that. But when they walk in the room and they're not trying to hurt you, you're not trying to hurt them. You're being kind. You're having conversation. Ooh, does it sound uncomfortable? No one is looking at me, so I think it's uncomfortable. Yeah, I know. Number 2. More than being kind, you actually give them praise. You affirm them and you praise them. Yokatta. That was great. Wow, I'm happy about that. This was a good job. Yes, that is true, what you said. Instead of cutting them down, you are openly and actively. Is it more painful yet? Let me get to where it really hurts. And here's the thing that brings you tears. You pray for the person. That's 3. You're kind to them. You speak kind words to them. And 3, you pray for them. You pray for their success. You pray for their happiness. You pray with your heart and with all of your energy that they will have no pain, that they will be healed of their sickness, that they will have a good relationship with their family, that they will have a promotion in this company. You pray sincerely. Itai. This is pain, my friends. This is where you shed tears. And some of you, I'm telling you right now, not only will you shed tears, you will sweat blood. That is how forgiveness works. In business, the currency is money. Okay? You want to do business with America, you need yen and dollar. The currency of business is money. In relationships, the currency is communication. You want to be able to speak and have friendships, you need to speak Spanish, English, Swahili, you know, and Japanese, forgive me, right? That's how you have relationships. The currency of business is money. The currency of relationship is communication. The currency of forgiveness is wood and nails. The currency of forgiveness is pain. Sweating blood and shedding tears. Muridana. I can't do this, Pastor Chris. It's too painful.
Listen, you know how it is. I want you to choose your pain. Pick your poison. Both are painful. If you keep the forgiveness, or no, excuse me, if you make them pay back and you don't give forgiveness, you're making them pay their debt, that's painful too, right? You're living in pain, and that pain is going to come out. Ulcers, headaches, hernias, skin rashes, all kinds of pain because you don't forgive. I've preached on this before. Or there's the pain of praying for a person that you are angry at. Okay? But this pain of forgiving somebody, that pain is a death. That costs you your death. But after the death is resurrection and glory. This pain, the pain of unforgiveness, the result of that is slavery. It costs you your life. So pick your poison. Choose your pain. One leads to destruction. The other leads to resurrection. Yeah, it's painful. Now it's time for the good news. The gospel. Now we go back to the story. Forgiveness, obedience, healing. Luke tells this story from verse 11 to verse 19 right after Jesus talks about forgiveness. Because Luke is trying to teach the Christians how forgiveness results in healing. Do you see it? 10 lepers. Let me tell you about these lepers. Lepers, of course, had a skin disease. It's in your bulletin. Okay, there's Hansenbyo, but also any kind of skin disease. It wasn't only a physical problem. It was a social problem and a psychological handicap. Physically, the man is falling apart. Socially, he cannot be with regular people, healthy people. He has to be outside. There's a distance. He cannot be in the city. He's outside. And when he comes near the city, when he comes near people, he has to shout, unclean, dirty. That verbal shouting, that verbal announcement is a psychological pain. So there's healing that needs physical, that has a physical component, a social component, and a psychological component. There's the distance. So the lepers are shouting at Jesus because they can't speak to him. They're at a distance. They're shouting, Jesus. And notice what they say. They said, Jesus, what's the next word? Master. That's related to obedience. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, heal us. And then Jesus, he stretches out his hand, he gets the power of heaven, and he declares them healed in the name of his. No, he doesn't do that. What does he do? Go talk to the priests. Jesus doesn't give the healing, he gives a command. Right? Healing is something that you receive by the grace of God. A command is something that you obey. Because he's the master. There's a difference, right? Healing is something passive. The command is something active. What's his command? Go. Now, whoa, Jesus, wait. You're telling lepers to go to the priests. Okay, the priests have the job
to declare you clean. The priests are the health officers, okay? The police are the komuin, not the police, the priests. They're the public servants to examine your body, and they say, okay, no more skin disease. Legally, officially, you are clean. You can come in back into the city. You can come back into community, come back into society. That's their job as the priest. And Jesus says, go to them. And that's crazy because if you're blind, okay, you're blind and I give you the ball and I say, okay, throw me the ball. You say, that's stupid. I'm blind. I can't find you if I throw the ball. But Jesus tells these lepers, go to the priest. What's the priest going to say? You're dirty. You have a disease. Nothing happened. But something did happen. What happened? Here it is. On their way to the priest, they're healed. Did you see that? In their obedience, they found their healing. In their action, they found the strength. Jesus says, you are angry, you are hurt. Don't wait until you feel like acting kind and forgiving and generous. Don't wait. Be kind. Be affirming. Pray for someone. Forgive them in your heart. And in your obedience of forgiving somebody, you will be whole. You will have your real peace. And that will result in glory. What's the glory? Well, one of the men came back. One of the men who's a Samaritan. What does that mean? Not only was he a leper, he's on the outside, he's a Samaritan. He's on the double outside. Double marginalized. Double. Okay, gaijin, gaikokujin. He's way out. Do you know what that's saying? He's saying, the worse your situation, the worse your pain, the harder it is, the deeper your darkness, when you are healed, the greater your joy. Amen? That's what he's saying. The Samaritan, who was on the outside of the outside, when he found the power of Jesus' healing working through his life as he obeyed, that was all the more his mission to worship God. When you think of God and how all the goodness he's done for you, that's your theology, shingaku, theology. When you remember God, when you think on God, when you study God, theology should lead to doxology. Doxology is praise, worship, bowing before Christ, bowing and serving Christ in worship. Theology leads to doxology. When that Samaritan looked at his skin, it was like a baby's newborn skin. He understood this Jesus is God himself. It made him go to Jesus, fall on his feet, and said, Jesus, you're my master, you're my Lord, you're my God. I'm not the expert on forgiveness. I'm sorry if I sound like I'm trying to patronize or say, hey, this is how you should do it. This is just what I've studied. I've been studying. This is where I am on my personal journey with Jesus. I mean, I've been preaching forgiveness for, well, 20 years. The only thing I had 20 years ago was forgive and forget. That's all I had. And then a few years later, Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Okay, I forgive as Jesus forgave me. I'm growing in my understanding and practice of forgiveness. And I'm praying not only for me, but for us as the people of God in Mitaki. We must be a forgiving people through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here it is. This is the gospel. The leper was someone on the outside. Jesus became an outsider so that we who are lepers can be accepted by God. The leper was someone who was unclean. Jesus became unclean. He was spit on. He was bloodied. His reputation was put through the mud so that we who are dirty, filthy, and sinful can be free of guilt, shame, wrath, pain, hurt. We can be clean. The leper is someone who is literally falling apart, finger by finger. Jesus, on the cross, fell apart so that we, through the cross, could be made whole. That is the gospel. If that message does not melt your heart, if it doesn't break your bitterness, you're not able to forgive. You're not. The only way that you can is through the power of the cross. That's why I love to sing the power of the cross. I love to sing the story of the resurrection. I love to sing about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, because that reminds me of how I have power to forgive. Forgiveness, obedience, healing. Please join me on the journey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I don't want to be a bitter man. I don't want to be an unforgiving Christian. I want to be an obedient servant. I want to be free from anger, unforgiveness, gossip, malice, wrath. Set me free, Spirit of God, to live in the joy of my salvation. Help me, Lord, with the faith that I have to obey you, forgive my enemies. Father, forgive our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Shall we all rise as we sing our closing song together? Death could not hold you. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. Silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. Heavens are roaring. Your you are raised to life again. You have no rival. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing comes past this. What a powerful name it is, the name.
Father, we thank you that you have allowed us to attend today. Father, as we go home in some difficult weather, we ask for safety as we travel home. And Lord, as we arrive home, that you would fill us with your Spirit. As we are filled, being filled with the fruit of the Spirit, we would have the fruit of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. For these good things, we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming today. Please go home. God bless you.